May 29th, and Ed and I are interviewing in the Junction City area. And we have been with some Danish people this evening, and we are going to interview one of the ladies that have been to dinner here with us tonight. What is your name?
Helga Rasmussen.
And what was your maiden name?
Helga Bodker.
And can you tell us anything about that name, Bodker? It's a little different.
Yes, it is. I think it. My father's name really was Nielsen, and they changed it to Bodker because there were so many Nielsens, and Bodker is a barrel maker. And I'm sure somewhere in the family there must have been a barrel maker, and that's why they took the name Bodker. And it's Butker.
Now, where in Denmark did your father come from?
He came from Sønderjylland, southern part of Jutland, in Holstebro.
And now your mother, was she Danish also?
She was Danish, but she was born in the Faroe Islands, which of course belonged to Denmark at that time, and spoke mostly Faroese, but also Danish.
And would you give us her full name?
Her name was Marie Jacobsen, and then of course Bodker when she married my father.
Do you remember your parents ever speaking of your grandparents? Did you know your grandparents?
I knew my my mother's mother, Grandma Jacobsen, or Bestemor, and she lived here too and came from the Faroe Islands to my folks in Chicago, and then moved out here to Oregon when they moved out here.
Do you have any recollections of them, either from personal experience or things that may have been told to you?
From my grandmother?
Yes, from your, in other words, back two generations.
Very much. My grandmother, of course, was one of my favorite people, and she lived part of the time when they first came out here with us and part of the time with my aunt and uncle. And we just loved her. She was always, I don't know what I would have done without her. She lived with us a lot, and I was very close to her, and was very close to her until she died at 96. She lived not too far from us in town, and we visited her almost every day. In fact, took meals to her and things for quite a few years, and she lived with us for a little while, and told us many stories of the Faroe Islands. Made us very aware of them, and in fact, so much so that we just had to go and see them.
So you have been to the Faroe Islands?
Three times, I believe.
And have you been to Denmark?
Yes. Four times to Denmark.
Now, did you, you married a Danish man?
Second generation Dane, whose folks were from Sjælland, from Roskilde.
So your whole life has been in Danish family and community life?
Yes, it has.
Do you know why your father left Denmark?
No, I really don't. I suppose the same thing that many other people from Denmark went over to the United States. I think at that time they said the streets were paved with gold. You could go over and get rich quick, and they weren't doing very well in Denmark. He didn't really have that much work. His folks weren't that well off, and he thought he could go over here and do pretty well, which I think it took him a long time to do. He worked in Chicago when he first came, had a delivery service there where he delivered fuel, coal, and I think had a pretty tough time making it.
I'm going to go back to Denmark, and then we're going to ask you some more about your father, too. But he lived near the German border. Were there ever any incidents that you heard of where your family was involved in anything on the border?
I don't remember so much about that, except the stories that Dad told about that his father was very Danish, and I think that at one time they lived below the border, but I have heard the story that when my grandfather was 90 years old, he walked I don't know how many miles to vote on something or other in the Danish in Denmark, because he felt like he still was Danish, and they finally, of course, were in Denmark, where they had been in the part that was German for a while. And but I don't, I really don't know too much about that, except that they were very Danish and were, of course, anti-German very much at that time.
Do you know how old your father was when he came across?
No, I don't. I would think maybe he was only about 18 or so, but I'm not sure.
Did you ever hear if he had any training for any jobs while he was in Denmark?
No, I'm sure he didn't have any training of any kind. He tells about being a herd drawing, which is a shepherd, I guess, of mostly cows rather than sheep, and I'm sure he didn't have any training.
Do you know if he did any military service in Denmark?
No, he didn't. He came over here before he had the military service.
Did he ever have to serve in any military way in the United States?
No, he didn't.
When your father came here and settled, did he become a citizen?
Yes, he did. I'm not sure just when. I don't remember, but he did become a citizen. I think almost as soon as he could.
Did he ever go to school in the United States?
No, he didn't.
Now, your father settled in Chicago. Where did he meet your mother?
He met her at a place in Chicago. It was a Danish settlement, and they had what they called a Danish young people's home there, where all of the Danish immigrants met, and he met my mother there. And I don't know how long that they had known each other, but they were married in Chicago and lived on a small farm right outside of Chicago, and then moved out here to Oregon.
Do you know if they were married in a Danish church or with a Danish minister?
I'm sure they were married in a Danish church, but I really don't know. They didn't say that much about it. I feel like they were married in a Danish church in Chicago, and I feel like it was probably one of the older Danish ministers, and I'm not sure, but what it was Adam Dunn that married them.
Would you tell us a little bit about Adam Dunn? He's a special person, isn't he?
Yes, he is, or at least was to my folks, because my mother especially talked a lot about him, and I don't know that much about him, except that they felt like that they knew him and thought that he was a great person.
And am I putting you on the spot to ask you why he was a great person?
No, because I really don't know.
Oh, well, he wrote some beautiful Danish songs.
Yes, I'm sure that's right. I remember
and
that.
And I thought somebody in the future listening to this may wonder about the name of Adam Dunn, so we'll put that. Now, back to your mother. Do you know why she left the Faroe Islands?
My grandmother was a great believer in education for all of her children. My grandfather died before her youngest child was born, and she was left, of course, without anything. He was a captain of a ship, and got sick and died in Denmark. And she wanted her children to have an education, and my mother went to Denmark and went to a folk high school in Denmark. And my one uncle went to Iceland, Reykjavik, and was to study to be a minister, but he didn't finish. He went sailing. And my other uncle learned to be a went to Copenhagen and went to school and learned to be a machine mister. What do you call that in English?
Well,
machinist mate or something. Anyway, he learned that. And my aunt went to Scotland to work, and she was the only one, I think, who did not go on to school. And my mother went to this folk high school in Denmark.
Would you
for
identify
a year,
the school?
Vallekilde Folk High School. And another great person in her life, I think, was it Ernest Trier, who started the folk high school. And I think any Danish people recognize the name of Ernest Trier. And my mother always had his picture on the wall, and thought he was a very great person. And then she worked in Denmark in a house for a year in a big gore. and went back to the Faroe Islands, and then decided that she had to come over here to the United States, and she had a friend here, and moved over here and worked in Chicago as a housemaid, and then met my father and married.
Did she ever tell you what gourd she worked on in Denmark?
I can't remember the name now, but we, when we were there, my sister and I, we looked it up and we visited this gourd and met the people that my mother had worked for, and they showed us all over the place and told us what a great job she had done there, which was very exciting.
And I am going to identify here that I know what they called your mother at that gourd. Would you mind telling that little story?
Well, when we came, we told the lady who met us who we were and asked if they remembered my mother, and they said, well, yes, we remember Maria Feroya, because they identified her as being from the Faroe Islands, and the Faroe Islands are known as Feroya. That's the name of them in the Faroese language.
So that was her name also in Denmark then?
Yes, it was.
Now, well, your parents settled in the Chicago area, but they didn't stay there. Would you kind of give us a picture of what happened to them after that time?
I don't know how long they stayed there. They had a small farm, and then my uncle and aunt came out here, and they to Oregon. And it was just the time they were starting the Danish community here in Junction City. And my uncle wrote and said how great it was out here, and was just like Denmark. And so my folks came out to look it over. They had two children at that time, my sister and brother.
Would you identify
them? My sister's name was Christine, and my brother, Anders, who was named for his grandfather, my father's father in Jylland. And they came out and looked it over, and they went back again and sold their farm. And meantime, another boy was born, Ovi. And then they all came out and settled out here. And I was born in Junction City
How did they get from the Chicago area out and then back again and then out again? Do you know?
They took the train. And I imagine the very cheapest way they could take it, because I'm sure they didn't have very much money. I always wonder how that they could, at that time, with as little money as they seemed to have, could take a trip out here, but it probably wasn't that expensive either. I'm sure that there wasn't all of the classes that there are now. They probably was one way to go. And I'm sure they packed their lunches and ate lunches on the way, and I can't remember how many days it took them, but it was quite a few days.
You spoke of them having a sale. Was that strictly a sale, or was it an auction? Have you ever heard them say?
They did have, they sold the farm that they had, and then I'm sure they had an auction on the rest of the things.
Now, when they settled here, did they go into farming then? Did they buy a place? Did they rent a place? Would you tell us about the home they established here?
Yes, they bought a place, and the place that they first bought was right next to the Willamette River, and my mother just didn't want to live there. It was so close to the river, and I might say that it was 60 acres. And right now, of that place, there's only 8 acres left. The river has taken the rest. But at that time, they could farm that, so they bought another place. And at that time, there was just a small house on it, really almost just one room, where everything was, the kitchen, bedrooms, and living room. And they added on to that as they could. And that's where I was born, and that was, I think, about 60 acres also. And that's where my dad farmed. And I might say that at this time, almost everyone within a 200-acre area here were Danish people. They came and they bought these small farms from 20 to 60 acres in Junction City. Prior to this time, Junction City was settled by people who had big acreages, like a section of land 320 acres or more. They farmed in wheat and seed and in very big amounts. The Danes came and they bought these 20, 30, 40 acre places, and everybody said, well, it won't be long till they'll all go. They can't make it. There's no way that they can make it on these small places here. Well, they found out that, of course, the Danish people were very frugal. They were diversified farmers. My dad had all the kinds of animals that there were. They raised everything that they ate, almost. They had berries, they had beets, they had grain, they had just everything. My dad started up a small place where he cleaned seed and ground wheat for the bread for all the neighbors. The neighbors farmed cooperatively. Maybe several of them got together and bought machinery, and they helped each other farm. They helped each other put in the hay. They helped each other thrash. And there's a story here that says that when they first came here, there was nothing but dog fennel and Danes. And they killed the dog fennel, but they couldn't kill the Danes.
Pretty hardy people. Now, when you were a little girl growing up on this place, did you have chores to do?
Yes, I sure did.
Would you tell me about it?
Well, the thing was that I had three brothers, and my sister was quite a bit older than me, so she went someplace to learn to sew, I think, in Eugene, and then she married very young. She went down to Solvang to school, to another folk high school. So I was mostly stuck in the house with helping my mother bake and clean house, and I always didn't think this was fair because I would much rather work outside. So finally, I got to do this and learn to milk and help to feed the calves and the cows, and I really liked it.
Now, did you carry on Danish traditions? I'm thinking of Christmas or any other holidays, or in the way you had birthday parties and so on in your home, I mean, as a little girl.
Yes, we did. Of course, one of the thing that I remember the most is our Christmases. I really don't think there's anything like a Danish Christmas.
Would you tell us about it?
Well, first, of course, our Christmas tree. In our house, we had two rooms right beside each other, and they were both sort of living rooms, but the one we used as a dining room, too, only, although that we ate most of the time in the kitchen. But the big living room was always closed off, and my folks put up the tree, decorated it, and put candles on it. And then we had dinner Christmas Eve, and after the dishes were washed, we all stood at the door. The folks went in and lit the candles, and then they opened the door.
And there was.
And there was all its glory. And there just isn't anything like it. And then, of course, we the first thing we did was to join hands and go around the tree singing Nu har vi jul igen.
And that's done in most Danish homes.
I'm not sure that it is done in most of them, but it always was in ours, and we still do it.
Yeah. You still do it?
We still do.
Yes. And did you exchange presents Christmas Eve, too, then?
Yes, we did, but not anything like they do now. I think we probably each had, I don't think we ever got more than one present, probably, and my folks, well, for the first thing, I don't believe that they would believe in having an awful lot. That wasn't the most important thing. There was always at least one present for everyone under the tree, although they did feel pretty badly one time when someone asked me in front of them, I guess, are you excited about Christmas and what do you think you're going to get? And I said, you know, sort of disgusted, oh, I know what I'm going to get. I'm just going to get some new clothes on the old doll. So, I suppose I felt real good about it, but the next year I got a new doll.
Oh, you got a new doll. Now, since you celebrated Christmas Eve, was there anything ever special about Christmas Day itself?
You know, I really don't. Of course, we all went to church on Christmas Day, but I don't remember that we did anything special. It was just sort of a the day after, and we all enjoyed each other, and sometimes I think maybe we didn't have that much family out here, but I think that my uncle and aunt and their children, that we got together on Christmas Day, but otherwise not as much on Christmas Day as Christmas Eve.
Did you ever go to a Danish school?
You mean
a Danish folk school in this country?
No, I didn't.
You didn't have the opportunity? Mm-mm. Did your parents take part in the Danish church life in this community?
Yes, they did. very much so. My father, I think probably, well, both my parents helped start the Danish church here, I'm sure. And my father was on the board and was very active in all the Danish church now. However, that was a completely different Danish church than it is now. It was, all of our activities were in the church. They had folk dancing, they had gymnastics, they had discussion meetings, they had lectures, they had get-togethers where the whole family came. We'd go to the hall and there'd be a lecture. They'd sing all of the Danish songs, and everything was in Danish. Then they played round games and sang while they played or danced the games, and it was just sort of a place to get together, and everyone went, and we really enjoyed it.
Then you spoke Danish in your home too, maybe?
Yes, we did. We spoke Danish always in the house. We had to speak Danish. We could talk English outside, but when we were in the house, we had to speak Danish.
That makes me think of another question too, and that is, do you know anything about when your parents learned to speak English? Did they ever tell you about it?
No, not really. I can always remember that that my father always, from what I can remember, I was one of the younger kids, and I don't know how long they had been in Chicago, really. He always talked pretty fluently in English. My mother never did talk that fluently, and I think that's why she could talk English, but she certainly would much rather talk Danish. The other thing is my grandmother, who was past 60 before she ever came to the United States, never did learn to talk English, so we had to talk Danish to her. And that's one reason that my son learned to talk Danish, was because he just loved his great-grandmother, and he just had to learn to talk Danish so he could talk with her.
And that's a nice reason, isn't it?
Yes, it
is. You spoke of your father being on the church council. Did he ever partake in any other forms of politics, either school board or city council or anything more than that?
Nothing except they had cooperative creamery here. He was instrumental or helped start that. They also had a cooperative feed company here, and he belonged to that, and an egg co-op, which he belonged to, because they all got together so that they had a better opportunity of marketing their wares.
Now, today in your home, do you still hold, like you said you had Christmas here, in a Danish way, but is there anything else in your home that says, here's a Danish family living here?
Think about your house and the things that are in your house or that you do in your house.
I would really, before you leave tomorrow, I would like to have you come over and see, because everyone who walks in there says they can easily see that this is a Danish home. I think practically all the pictures and paintings that we have are either from Denmark or about Denmark. Our dishes are Danish. Many things. Of course, our daughter-in-law is Danish too.
Yes,
yes. And so I'm pretty sure that there would be no way that we could get out of the fact that we are Danish.
Now, you have been to Denmark and you have been up to the Faroe Islands. You must have had some kind of a preconceived notion of what it was going to look like and be. Was it like that when you got there?
The first time that we went to the Faroe Islands, my cousin Arnold and I went because that we had talked so much about our grandmother telling us about all of the things from the Faroe Islands, and we talked about this so much. And after she died, I had saved everything, all of her old letters, and I had read those, and it sounded so interesting. And so one day we were talking, and Arnold's son, Egan, said, "Why don't you quit talking about this? Why don't you go?" So the next day he went down to see about tickets, and not very long we were on the way over there. We flew and just stopped in Copenhagen and went over there by ship from Copenhagen. And as we were sailing into Tórshavn in the Faroe Islands, and we were standing there looking, and Arnold came and said to me, "Isn't this the craziest thing you've ever heard of? And traveling all the way across the world to this little island, what are we doing this for?" And I said, I don't know. I think it's crazy, too. By that time, we landed, and a fellow came in looking for us because we had written that we were coming. And from that time on, we didn't have another doubt about that this was the right thing to do. And we still correspond. And as I say, we've been there twice since. We've taken my husband and Arnold's wife twice since, and I hope we get to go again.
What were some of the things that really impressed you on the Faroe Islands?
Well, I think the ruggedness of the islands, the people, of course, more than anything, I think, probably, are the people. It's almost impossible to imagine that here we had never seen anyone, and yet it was just as if we had known them all our life. And we found out that my grandmother had been a very great personage there. They were all so excited and so impressed that we would come from way over here in America to see them. And I think that they were all very happy to see us, and they seem like they're very glad. The first thing they did was announce over the radio that here were two people from the United States that come over here, and said who they were, and I mean what family they were, and they said anyone who knows of Trina Jakobsen and Johan Jakobsen would come to the hotel, and they were going to have a big party. And they came from all over the islands and had the biggest party there for us that night, and we just really enjoyed it. It was just more fun. It
must have been a tremendous experience.
Oh, it was.
Then what about when you got to Denmark?
Denmark, I think, was more or less just what we expected. I think it's a beautiful country. You can't imagine anything being so beautiful and so small and so clean-looking as it is all over in Denmark. It's just simply beautiful.
Then you had an opportunity to see more than just the old home area. You traveled in Denmark.
Yes, we did. I think we got to almost every place in Denmark.
Were there any place that impressed you more than another? Was there any place something special about?
I suppose the thing that was most special was visiting in the place where my father was born and all of his family, and meeting all of those people. Again, I have several cousins there, and feeling the kinship to these people, even though we had never seen them before. I think that was a great experience. It was also great going to see Hans, my husband's place at Roskilde, and looking up where he was born, or where his folks were born, and where they had lived, and meeting some of his folks, too. And it really was a very rewarding experience.
Now, when you got to Denmark, did you find that your Danish served you well?
I think it served us very well, and I was real proud of the fact that I could speak Danish. I would hate to have to go and not be able to talk, but I'm sure that everyone there knew that we were Americans. I'm sure that they could tell somehow or other, just like you could tell tonight, that my father was from Jylland, and I don't really think that's right. I guess you could.
I'm wondering if you could think of something to say in Danish. You might just imagine you're saying something to somebody in the future, for the reason that we want them to hear your particular way of speaking Danish.
I can't think of anything to say.
Nu sidder de her som en dansk amerikaner. Fortæl mig lidt om, hvordan det er at være dansk amerikaner i Junction City.
Jeg synes ikke, det er noget forskel at være en dansk amerikaner eller en amerikaner, og jeg vil sige, da jeg var ikke så stor, da jeg var lille, der synes vi ikke så meget godt om at være dansker. Vi synes, at det var, ville have været meget bedre, hvis vi havde været amerikaner. Men nu synes vi er meget stolte af at være dansker.
Oh, thank you very much. And I'm gonna just thank you right now for letting us interview you.